I remember when I was pastor here, when we came to this Sunday in Lent, I always said, "How's Lent going?" Little examination there. I had a good friend at UNI, a student. He's still a good friend, had his wedding. And we would decide sometimes to do our Lenten penance together. So he said to me one year, "Klein, what if we gave up beer this year?" And I thought, well, he needed, but I don't. And then we'd check up on each other, because that's what we are, we're a community. And so he'd say, "Well, how you doing? You had any beer?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Me too." I think we recognize that Lent is a time of discipline. It's surely a time of penance. But I think since Vatican II particularly, we've expanded that and deepened it because we've gone back to the scriptures. It isn't just church calisthenics, if you will. And as we mature more deeply spiritually, we see that Lent is all very much connected with our baptism, very much connected with the Paschal Mystery, you call it, Good Friday and Easter. And we really have to look into that. And so Jesus tells us in the scriptures, take up your cross. That's kind of the essence of Lent. We go with Jesus and deepen our life in Jesus. We look at the crosses of our present life. So sometimes we say, "I'm going to give up candy or something." We used to do that. Well, is that one of your crosses? Well, it's not easy to do. It's good for discipline. But it's sometimes hard to go that route and say, well, what we're giving up, what are we going to give up resolution? So I think we need to rather see that Jesus teaches us and accompanies us as we go through Lent, empowers us to embrace our crosses. That's what he had to do. He said, take up your cross and follow me. So we have to, our crosses might be condemning, it might be anxiety, it might be depression. It might be trying to control everything, play God. We're frustrated because we're not God. And so a lot of our sinfulness is not that little list that maybe we had when we were in grade school. That's there, and that's expressions of these. So Jesus had us look at the cross. So let's look at Jesus' cross. He was a failure. His whole mission was not working out at all, even his disciples, everybody. We are called to take on the same frustrations that he had, the same anxiety, the same rejection and pain. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus was a human being. And eventually all he could do is turn to the grace of God and say, "Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. I keep thinking I can do it, and indeed I have to respond to your grace, but I can't do it by myself." We do need to work at things, to be disciplined. We do need to have people support us and help us. But we have to know that eventually we cannot carry our cross. We cannot. So this is not something that we can do by muscular effort. We have to remember God's loving fidelity as we hear in the readings tonight. We have to embrace our crosses with the Lord. And that brings us to Easter joy. We always say Happy Easter, and that's good. I remember talking to she was a young woman 20 years ago, now her kids are in college. But she said, "I just want my kids to be happy." I think that's a common sentiment, to want our kids to be happy, and that's a good thing. But I'd love to ask her, well, how did that work out? But it's important to go deeper than that, to put our arms around the very real Good Fridays that are right in front of us, because we can't get to joy which is the real depth of Easter, without doing that. Second Chronicles today says, it talks about Israel in fidelity to God's ways. Their sinfulness was wanting to build up a kingdom of power, an earthly kingdom. And it resulted in the collapse of Israel and in generations and long exile in Nineveh. That's Mosul today. And they were rescued by the Persians, the Iranians. It's all still there. And finally they became open, somewhere along the line, to God's call to come home to Jerusalem and be what they're called to be, his kingdom, to be a light to all nations. So the exile was like a Lenten sabbatical, a long one, a painful one, over generations. But they finally were able to see. In the alternate reading today, we have the story of the blind man that's often used during our RCIA. We have to say, "Rejoice, O Israel, and come back to your God." It's in the American culture today, we spend an awful lot of time building up our kingdom, a lot of effort, and it falls apart. We spend a lot of time following the ways of life that demand that, but it doesn't work out. So somebody asked me earlier this Lent, "So, Father, what's your resolution?" I went, "They really come at you, don't they? Where's that guy I knew in college?" I say we have to pick something that's right in front of us. And so I picked growing older. We're all doing that, of course, but some of us are closer to the, we're in the red zone. And that last 20 yards is tough. So we're called to take on what that's about. I'll give you a few examples about getting older, and you can go back to, for instance, your transitions. All of you are in transitions, even children. It's a little scary to go to school or go to high school or college or whatever. So what do I have? What are some of the crawls? Some of you are older. Some of you might even be older than me. It's an anxiety about the reality of dealing with physical and mental limitations. That's very real. I don't have the stamina to do this every weekend. I think you might not see me for a while. I don't have balance. I don't have agility. I don't have mental acuity like I once had. It's still there, it's not gone, but, and so I need help. And I need to be creative and careful. But what happens is some things that I really made important all my life really aren't. If I can't do them, I say, you know, why am I doing those or not doing it? And there's some things I'd really like to do or afraid I might lose the ability to do that I can't do anything about. Secondly, another one is to let go of, well, in my case, being a leader and a pastor in the church. I've worked hard all my life, and I wish I could do more to make a difference and to be present. And it's hard to watch sometimes and be open to other people's different ways or even other people's weaknesses, messing up. But I have much more time now. Retirement's good. And I can be open to lots of opportunities of friendship and faith formation, perhaps. And I can sit in the pews. I really like to sit in the pews and just have all the people around me that I know and celebrate there, not have to worry about getting through this up here as much. Sometimes it's dramatic, like rheumatoid arthritis. I've had that now since 2004. It doesn't go away. I started having prescriptions that, "How long I gotta take this, doc?" He said, rest of your life. And I didn't like that at first. Then I had open heart surgery. And so I said, into your hands, oh doctors and nurses and my friends, I commend my spirit. That happens when you get older. It should happen long before that, and it does. And so, there's a good side to that, very obviously. I have no problem with alcohol at all, because every label in the prescription bottle says, you can't take this with alcohol. That ain't all bad. Helps keep weight off and a lot of other things. I embrace the cross of exercise. I was walking this morning in the mall. I just got up and did it. I have a diet that's far better than it used to be. Also, a good thing. And I have a much deeper compassion, I think, with people who are struggling, particularly with older age and health, but then that spills back all the way through. The last one I'll mention is grief and loss. I just lost my aunt this week. That's my last aunt. Delightful, lovely person. She was almost 90. It was time. I've lost a lot of my best friends, older priests. I've lost two brothers, lots of other friends. I lost Lanny Peterson, a deacon friend, just in September. And so that's a cross to make those adjustments. I'm not complaining because I've learned a lot. Learned a lot about myself and others. I've learned about accompanying people, like Pope Francis talks about, in their illnesses, in their weaknesses, as they face the end of life, perhaps. Helping them make medical decisions or housing decisions and saying, I'm not so far from making some of those myself, and I hope I'll be able to. And of course, facing death. That's not so far away now. That end zone's a lot closer. But when all that happens, you say, I can either be all sorry for myself and shrivel up, or I can say, there's lots of new people out there. They're not my age anymore. But to their age, my children and my grandchildren would be. They're wonderful people, and they're all grown up. I remember when they were in high school or something. And so it's a chance to meet new people and to go deeper and deeper into the relationships that I had left. I stayed with my niece, she stayed with me, actually, after the funeral. We spent 2 days talking. She's just about 48, and she has a son at the university. What a wonderful 2 days. I never would have done that, perhaps a few years ago. So I guess what we're saying about Lent is we have to embrace the cross. We have to listen to people. We have to concentrate more. We have to reach out, because people aren't, we're not out and about. They have to reach out to us. We get a chance to read and pray. We begin to forgive and be forgiven in our relationship experiences. And we celebrate deeper joys as we come to Easter. John 3:16, we see that in the football game too. It's right behind the goalpost. People are holding that up, And we read it in tonight's gospel. That everyone who believes in Jesus, God so loved the world that he sent his only son, Jesus, so that everyone who believes in him might have eternal life. We have to come to the conviction that we're Jesus. It's faith, said that in Ephesians, said it in the first reading, but it's more than that. In order to appropriate that faith, we have to be Jesus, or the sign of Jesus. That's a very special call to bring people to eternal life. I've always been robust and independent and strong. I still am. But I'm not in the same way. Because I embrace crosses, or try to, and because you do, as you examine your own experience, you are enriched to a new wisdom. And you have a new Easter. The paradox of building up your kingdom, which we all spend doing, it's really part of our American culture, is that that doesn't work. Paul keeps telling us our strength is in our weakness. So getting old is not so bad. And yet, it's no fun. We embrace our crosses, and they set us free. And we enter into eternal life, even on this earth.